Today's lesson is in demonstrating trust in God, and it's at Jericho, and we'll open in prayer. Father, we are grateful to you that you bless us with your word. We pray, Lord, that you bless us with understanding and that your spirit make it real to our hearts and lives and to where we live today and where we're going with you tomorrow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how many have been to Jericho? I have. I'm bragging. It's to go to Israel and to be and walk in around where they have excavated the walls to be the walls of Jericho. And we know that Jericho is the same place that's called Jericho today is the same place that was called Jericho at the time of Joshua, because there's a well there. There's an artesian well that still produces water, and so the city's built around water, especially in an arid country. And I used to think that, okay, the Jordan River and Jericho, I used to think that, you know, plains of Jordan and stuff, that the Jericho River was a couple miles away from, the Jordan River was a couple miles away from Jericho, but today's river is maybe a mile, if that, away from Jericho. So whenever you have the children of Israel crossing this nation of over a couple million people, crossing the Jordan River, it's the people of Jericho are going to be up on the walls watching, okay? So, and as we find out about how that Joshua and how that he sent the spies into the city of Jericho and how that he was wanting to get the lay of the land. But we also see how that God was doing a great miracle for the nation of Israel to come across the Jordan River, plus at the same time put fear in the hearts and the lives of the enemy. So I think of this in a number of settings, in the sense that whenever we have Christ in our heart and in our life, the enemy is afraid of our life, and he's afraid of our prayers, afraid of what we're going to say, because our words have great power and have great authority whenever we take the word of God and make it part of our life and part of what we are saying and doing each day, that the enemy of our soul is afraid that we're going to recognize how much power and how much God can do in our lives. So the lesson today, when you think of, it's about Rahab. And Rahab is the harlot, the prostitute, that lives on the wall of Jericho. And if we're looking at who God is going to use and who God is going to bless, who God is going to do this and this for, we wouldn't pick her. We wouldn't pick this lady because she's got such a, notorious, sinful past. So we wouldn't think of her being the person that God was willing to save in the whole community of Jericho. So the conquest, and the commentator says that the conquest of Jericho lies in the hands of this woman. I disagree, because I think that when Joshua sent he was part of the 12 spies that originally went into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb, the only two of the 12 that came back with a good report. So the other 10 influenced the community, influenced the nation. We can't go in, and so they ended up taking a 40-year trip around the desert. Well, if I'm Joshua, okay, I'm not sending spies over there to come back and tell me what's in the land, because there's a good chance they're going to come back and say, we can't do it. So why is Joshua, and the commentators, you read both sides, but the commentators state that Joshua wanted to get a lay of the land of the city before he attacked the city. Well, God didn't need a plan of attack for the city, because the city wasn't conquered by soldiers and ladders and scaling, you know, scaling the walls in battles such as that, the Jericho was conquered by obedience to what God gave to Joshua. And as Joshua followed the obedience of what God wanted him to do, we find the walls came tumbling down. So Joshua, the concern of God, what God wants to do in this lesson is more than just conquer the walls and conquer the city. He wants us to know that there is no one beyond his reach and that there are people who are watching our lives, watching what's going on in the life of the Christian, and they're being influenced and are ready to accept what Christ has to offer and what Christ wants to do in their life, except they need somebody to come to them. All right, so we're going to read in Joshua chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. What's that? Oh, page 8 in your Sunday school lesson. Here's my little joke. Who's the only man in the Bible that was born from no one? Joshua's the son of Nun. He didn't have a mother. Son of Nun, sorry. That was my joke for the day. Yeah. That's in you in. Yeah, I know, but the son of Nun, he didn't have a mother, Joshua. Sorry, that joke goes back a long time. You can tell that, right? Okay, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. So what happens is Joshua, they are still on the other side of the Jordan. Okay, if you can picture this, if you're looking at it from the air, aerial view, on the right-hand side, there's Jericho, the city, and mountains behind them. And then you go about a mile out, and then you have the Jordan River. And then you go another mile or two out, and it's still that plain of Jordan, and you have a mountains on that side. So the nation of Israel has come from the desert on the left here and down into this plain, and they're all camped out there. I mean, there's a couple million people, okay? So this is no small gathering. So you've got a couple million people across the river from your city, all right? Now, while Joshua's over on this side, he sends out two spies to go into Jericho. Well, when they get, and the details are not specific in the sense of where they wandered and where they went and so on. But anyhow, they ended up up on the wall. Now, Jericho is considered to have two walls, an outer wall and an inner wall. Well, Jericho has become so populated that people now build their houses on the wall. They're so confident that no one can conquer them that they've got their houses on the wall and whatever. And Rahab, her house is on the wall. So her house is on the wall. So perhaps the two spies, they don't even get into the inner part of the city. Perhaps they're between the walls and they get up on the other, maybe they recognize, for whatever reason, they're found out. Well, yes? They can put a couple chariots at a time around the walls. So Jericho is a very, very fortified city. They've gone to great lengths to keep themselves safe. Most of the places in the Middle East there, especially at this time, they were basically city-states, that the city had their own king, and the city had their own armies, and the city had their own fortresses, you know? So they had, you know, so Jericho is, if you are a strategic military person, Jericho is in the middle of the country. So when you take Jericho, you split what is to be the promised land, you split it in half. so that the forces on either side basically can't get together, the cities that are out there that are yet to be conquered, they are split. So Jericho is kind of right in the middle of the land. So he doesn't start at the south and go to the north. He doesn't go to the north. He starts right in the middle and takes Jericho and goes outward from there. So Jericho, modern excavation, you know, they've discovered the walls, that it is a literal city, an actual city, and they've discovered some of the walls of Jericho. And it was a very interesting place to visit. I would go back. Anyhow, it's not in Israel anymore. It's part of the, under Palestinian rule. But what else about Jericho? But anyhow, and they went and they came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. So they got into town and they go to this hotel. Now, not only is it a hotel, it is the harlot's house. She is a prostitute of the city. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there come men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." So they were recognized immediately, you know. I guess from the language they spoke or the clothes they wore, they just stood out like a sore thumb, because as soon as they got in town, everybody knew who they were. Joshua didn't plan this out very well. Well, if you figure, they're wearing 40-year-old garments. Because what they left Egypt with, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, and you know, they didn't have homespun things and goods to make new clothing and things. So anyhow, they've come with what they had from Egypt. And so they get in there and they escape or get up on the wall to Rahab's house. And it was told the king, "Behold, there are men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, so they not only knew these guys came into town, they knew exactly where they went. Now, Jericho's a big place. You know, I don't have the dimensions of it, but it's a very large fortified city. And it's at least almost the circumference of Wimber, you know, from not Scalp, but that end of town to 21st Street, somewhere in their light there, maybe even bigger than that up over the hill. So you've got two walls going around this entire city. And they had a water supply. So that was important in the ancient times. So they went to Rahab's house, "Bring out the men who have come to you and which are entered into thine house, for they come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I don't know where they were." I don't know where they're at. So what happens is Rahab, I think of this as when Jesus is traveling, he says, "I must needs go through Samaria." Why? Because he was going to the well, the woman at the well at Samaria, where the Samaritans were, you know, their country and the people were off limits. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. They didn't even walk on each other's ground. So when Jesus wanted to go through Samaria, his disciples said, "You don't want to go there." You know, but of course Jesus knew what he was doing, because he knew that he needed to meet the woman at the well. She was ready to receive what Christ had to offer. Well, I believe that God knew that Rahab, who is in the lineage of King David, who is in the lineage of Christ, okay? So Rahab has an important role to play in the future of Israel. But she first has to become part of the nation of Israel. And so God knows and go, as it were, sets things in motion so that she will be saved from the destruction of Jericho. So from my estimation, that's why the two spies went into Jericho. They went there to spy out the land, but they went there, that's what their mission was. But while they were fulfilling their mission, they met Rahab, and Rahab saved them from being found by the guards. So, and it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, So the gates of the city were generally opened in the morning and closed at night. You know, travelers in and out. That men went out whither they went and pursue after them quickly. And Rahab says, you know, they were here, but they left already. And if you get out of town and go after them, that you, maybe you can catch up to them before they cross the river, you know. So this is kind of what was going on. She's, you know, she has a perfect view of the river. She's on the wall. And she watches, you know, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So she tells the guys that were coming to capture the two spies, they were here, but they left, and they headed off to the river. They're off and going. And if you hurry after them, you might quickly, for you may overtake them. But she brought them up to the roof, all right? So she told the soldiers one thing, but she hid the spies on the roof. And the roof was made of where she was drying out flax. And so underneath these branches of flax and so on that she was drying on the roof, that's where she hid the two spies. And the soldiers pursued after the two whom they thought were headed back, you know, trying to hightail it back across the, that's a good word, hightail it. They hightailed it, you know. So, you ever see a deer running? Hightail. So you didn't know where that came from, huh? Hightail. So anyhow, the men pursued after them to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they was pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So they shut the gate. If the guys hadn't left, they were not going to get out of town. All right. So that was kind of the purpose. So what happens is the people of Jericho, okay, you've got two walls to protect your city, and soldiers and everything, and they are all upset. They're jittery. They're afraid of what's going on with these two spies being there. Now, we would think that they wouldn't be upset at all. But you see, they had heard. We'll go on. Verse 8 of chapter 2. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof, and she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. So here are all these people standing in the strength that they have, two, you know, armies and walled cities and everything, and they are afraid. They are in terror. Now, this isn't just a mild, I wonder what's going to happen next. They are deathly afraid of the children of Israel and what's going to happen. Now, why? Well, you know, 40 years earlier, they got out of Egypt. Okay? Now, there was great plagues that came upon the Egyptians. But there was also the crossing of the Red Sea. There was the destruction of the Pharaoh's army. There was 40 years of living in the desert. Now, these people are aware of the desert. Anybody in his right mind knows you can't live in a desert for 40 years. You can't exist out there for 40 years with a couple million people wandering around the desert. That doesn't happen. Well, they are aware of this. So they are aware of what God has done in the past. Okay? See, the enemy of our soul is very much aware of who God is and what God has done in the past for people who believe. All right? So what happens is we become distracted from what God has done for us in the past, and we become distracted by what's happening today and tomorrow. And we're called to have faith in today and tomorrow, and our faith is not built on what we can blow up in our mind. Our faith is built upon what Christ has already done, what he's already done in the past. No, what he died for our sins, he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, you know, he forgave us of our sins, God is with us, and we are his children, and, you know, all that, and we have to solidify that in our lives. Well, she says the terror the terror of Israel has fallen upon them. They are afraid. Now, these guys are across the river. Now, their only consolation is the Jordan River is in flood stage. Flood stage is, if you know the plain, the Jordan River is not very big. It's like the creek down here in Wimber. Really. The Jordan River, whenever we were on a bus tour, and the guy drove across this little bridge, and he says, I want you to look out your window, and he says, there's the Jordan River. And the bus was on each bank of the river. You know, it wasn't like the Allegheny River in Pittsburgh, or even in Johnstown, or the Mississippi. It was like the creek down here. But the Jordan River is the water that flows from Dan. Dan is the northernmost tribe up in the mountains. And whenever the snow is on the mountains and springtime comes, the waters come off of the mountains down through the water that comes from Dan, the Jordan River, and floods the plain of Jordan, floods the plain of Jericho. So it's, you know, it's pretty wide. It's not that deep. The river's not that deep, but it floods that plain. You know, another little bit. Whenever the scripture says you're to cast your bread upon the water, okay? Well, whenever the springtime comes, the people, the farmers, would throw their seeds on the water that was flooded. The seeds would sink down into the mud, you know, and when the waters recede, their fields were planted. So when you're casting your bread upon the water, you're casting your seed upon the water that God is going to multiply and grow and increase in your life. That's where that comes from. You know, I often thought you throw your seeds out in the ocean. No, you throw your seeds on the water that has been spread out through the Jordan River, flooding over, and the seed goes down, settles on the ground, and the crops are planted when the water recedes. So anyhow, the terror of Israel and what could happen to Jericho is upon them, but they probably feel they're pretty protected because they've got this, you know, massive expanse of water in front of, and you're not going to bring a couple million people wading across this water with all your kids and families and donkeys and sheep and whatever you got. You're not going to bring 2 million people across there. So, verse 12. Now, therefore, I pray thee, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me your true token. So Rahab knows that if, you know, the God of Israel is greater than the gods of Jericho. And she wants the two spies to promise her, I've taken care of you, and I want you to promise me before your God that you will take care of me and my family. So this is where, you know, she is, you see, we should never be afraid to ask. Okay? Whenever we believe that God is doing something in our life, we should never be afraid to ask. God can always say no, but you have not because you ask not. Now, what if Rahab had said, well, you know, I took care of you. I think their God will take care of me. No. She wanted a token, she wanted a pledge that these guys would pledge to her that their God would take care of her. Now, can you imagine these two guys speaking for God? How many times have we ever said, imagine me speaking for God, you speaking for God? People that have been watching Christians, and they come to you, and they want to know something about you, and they've been watching what God is doing in the church and in people's lives, how Christ has taken care of people. They've been watching you, and they want you to speak for God. And the answer is, yes, we can. And what we're doing is remembering the promises of God and speaking the promise that God has already given into their life. God, nothing is impossible with God. All things work together for good. I don't understand why things happen, but I know that God is with us and he'll take care of us and he'll see us through. We have the right to speak the word. So, you will save alive my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that you have and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. Okay? Our life for yours. We're pledging that if something happens to you in your life, we're dead. If somebody kills you, they have to kill us. That's laying your life on the line. As God has answered my prayers and our prayers, I pray and I know that God will answer yours. It's the same God. If you utter not this, okay, here's the condition. You don't tell anybody else that we've been here. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. So, whenever we think about our own families, that God would save our entire household, that our children and grandchildren all would come to know Christ as their Savior. This is one of the stories that we can go back to, that God will save us and our household, is that Rahab said, the two men says, bring everybody into the house, and everybody that's in the house will be saved. So then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall, and she said unto them, get you to the mountains. She even told them where to go. I'm putting you down here. Don't go to the Jordan River, because the people who are looking for you are there. Don't take a chance of being caught by them. Go the other direction to the mountains and wait there. And lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. So she even told them to wait there 3 days. Wait until the time comes. So talks about the archaeologists and how that they have discovered that Jericho has two walls. And one of the things about Jericho is... when the walls collapsed, they didn't do a, they kind of like did a inward crumbling, because the people, the soldiers of Israel, ran up the walls and into the city. So they didn't have to take ladders to climb the remains of the wall, to get in. The walls crumbled in such a way that the two walls kind of put in a pyramid, and the people could run up and down the other side and go into the city and take the city. So not only did God crumble the walls, he crumbled the walls in such a way that the children of Israel, the people of Israel, could go in and take the city. Now, where we went here? What we have now is and it's not in the lesson, but what happens is the children of Israel now, Joshua has the report, the people in Jericho, they're afraid, they're terrified of us. And and Joshua hears what he needs to hear from his spies. And so then he spends some time and gets direction from the Lord. Now, what happens with the direction that God gives to Joshua has nothing to do with the two spies. Joshua says, everybody stand back from the river, and we're going to have the priests who are carrying the ark, which was the ark that was built with the wings and so on. It's a 3x4, 4x5 box covered in gold. And in that is the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod that budded in a pot of manna. We're still looking for that today, haven't found it. But the priests who were carrying it were to go forward and get into the water, okay, the Jericho River, which is, you know, how wide at this time, we don't really know. But it's a goodly span. And when the priests got into the water, and they were like ankle deep in the water, you know, you have to go into the water. Your problems don't go away until you sometimes get into them and allow God to help you deal with them. So the priests go into the water and stand. And the scripture says, on one side, God put a barrier. Now remember the children of Israel, whenever they were leaving Egypt, God took them through the middle of the Red Sea. Both sides, walls of water. Now there's one wall of water. And it's to the north. It's towards the Sea of Galilee. Because to the south is the Dead Sea. So, and right in here is the plain of Jordan, and there's the city of Jordan. So they walk across on dry ground. The whole 2 million people walk across on dry ground, and we're walking around, as it were, the priests and the tabernacle that symbolizes the presence of God. And underneath the span of the angel's wings is the mercy seat, where we say God's mercy is upon us. So anyhow, they all cross over. So the people of Jericho are up on the walls watching. They're watching this spectacular event take place where they know they're doomed. I mean, how can you fight against a God who stops water? How do you, you know, separates water? How do you fight against a God who keeps people alive in the desert for 40 years? How do you fight against a God who can split the Red Sea and everybody go through on dry ground, and then the armies of Egypt get crushed? See? So these people are watching it. So, Joshua also tells them that they are to get 12 stones out of the middle of the river, and they are to place it and pile them up, and they're to place it as a marker as to where they crossed. So remembering what God has done for us in the past is not a bad thing. It's a good thing, making those places. And so anyhow, they're on the side, the same side of the river as Jericho. Now God gives them a command. He wants them to march around the city of Jericho one time for 6 days. Well, and one of the things he tells the people they're not allowed to do. What are they not allowed to do? Talk. Why do you think that is? They're going to talk themselves out of it. What are we doing this for? How is God ever going to do something? Look at those walls, how big they are. When God is expecting us to take this, you know, where's our catapults? Where's our ladders? In the natural, we have a tendency to look at the reality of what things are. But it's not wrong to see the reality. But we must also see God and what his promises are. So the people, and so they marched around the city once every day, and then on the seventh day, they marched seven times, and then on the seventh time, the trumpets blew, and the people shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. That's the story of Jericho. Well, when they shouted, the priests, this is verse 20, when the people shouted, when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go to the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as you swore unto her. So every part of the wall fell, except the house on the wall that belong to Rahab. How God can keep us in the midst of what would be seemingly destruction. So and the young men that were spies in the, and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and she brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now, we would say sometimes, well, why did everybody have to die? Whenever, I always go back to when Abraham was promised the land. God says to Abraham, their iniquity is not yet full. This land is yours, but you can't have it yet because the iniquity of the people has not reached that place where they won't listen to anyone anymore. Well, Rahab was one that listened and knew that the God of Israel was greater than the gods of Jericho. And the idea of destroying these cities and destroying the inhabitants of the land is like how that we are to get rid of sin and the things that are destructive to our lives. We're not to live with them. We're not to live with the sins and the things that are destructive to us. We are to eradicate them from our lives by the blood of Christ and by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of God and by our testimony. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So the word of our testimony becomes a way in which we continue to the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony is the way that we keep things away from us, the things that would destroy us. And so when God wants the nation, wants Israel to drive out these nations and to eradicate them, is that what happens later on is we know that Israel didn't chase them all out. And so the gods of the people they didn't chase out, Israel began to intermarry with them, and that led to their many downfalls and their many complications in the next 1,000 years. So if they had obeyed the command of God to destroy and eradicate and get rid of all the people of the land, they would have gotten rid of all the other gods, you know, like the gods of the Egyptians were, and the gods of the plains and the gods of Jericho and all these other places where they had child sacrifices and, you know, you can just name it, that was there. And God wanted them to be destroyed because he didn't want that to be in his land. So when God wants us to live a life that is pure before God, he doesn't want that to be part of our land, his land, our lives. That's why he wants us to get rid of them so that we can live in the full of God's love. So that's Jericho. Sorry, I talked the whole time. Thoughts? Questions? Yeah. Right. Yeah, he prayed to God to get wisdom, and he didn't use his own wisdom. So what interesting thing do you learn about Jericho? What's that?
Don't talk.
Don't talk. When you're conquering your country, don't discuss it with yourself. I think sometimes our greatest weakness is our self-talk. Oh, well, you know. I think from, you know, again, studying this and going over it and things, I think is that God knows the one whose heart is ready to receive him. And Rahab didn't know anything about the children of Israel and about God. She just knew what their God had done for them and was ready to receive their God. And so the spies were sent to find her. And sometimes in our life when we're sent to find people, sometimes it's just being with someone and talking to them. And that's God using us to find individuals who who otherwise wouldn't be reached. Be a kind one to another. Loving kindness, you know, God's kindness is in our hearts and towards people, being kind to someone. It's just important to do that. Anything else? I like, Jericho is more than just a story we tell children, you know. Fairy tale, you know. No, it's not a fairy tale. It's a real city. It's a real place, and it was a real event that took place in the history of the nation of Israel. And it's very much a part of the land of Israel. It's very much a part of their history and of who they are as a nation. So it isn't a make-believe story. And the more, and the, you know, probably about 30 years ago, 40 years ago, they used to really come down on Christians and their beliefs, you know, oh, Jericho and the walls fell down, you know, all these, you know, Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, now they're digging and finding that these events happened. And even they found that the places of Sodom and Gomorrah, there, you know, some believe it's at the bottom of the Dead Sea, but they found places in the surrounding regions where the stone was brimstone, fire and brimstone. They found traces of these things in the stones, you know, that would have been part of that inferno. They found traces of that. And then one place, and I always remember this, we were driving down the road to the Dead Sea, and you know, you would look up on the mountains and it's like you know, rabble, you know. But a few years later, an archaeologist was driving down the same road and noticed a stone that was out of place and out of character for that hillside. And they started exploring, and they found a place that is called and engraved Lot's Temple, right there by the Dead Sea. So anyhow, these things, if people disprove or try to disprove the Bible, they just haven't found enough of the truth yet. So, Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and for the blessings that you give to us by the knowledge of your word. You set us free, O God, from the things that would tempt us and cause us to stumble. We thank you for your forgiveness and love. Bless, O Lord, your word to our lives and us to your service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.